You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour two. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Three-peat last night. Third consecutive year that we lost. Well, we didn't win the sports Emmy, but we did have a great time. We've got a poll question that Fritzy came up with. He's very, very proud of that, trying to overcompensate for us losing last night. But I don't want you to take it personally, Todd. You're not the reason why we did not win the sports
Emmy. I was already referred to as the Scott Norwood of the group.
I did not. Ethan, our stats guy, called you Scott Norwood. I'm Marv Levy. Seton is Jim Kelly. Paulie's Thurman Thomas. McLevin's Andre Reed. And you're Scott Norwood.
Paul. Kind of rough.
To be fair, Scott Norwood only had one bad moment.
Yeah. And by the way, unfairly criticized for that one bad moment. Because, what was it, a 48-yard field goal with the Super Bowl on the line?
Yeah, but it's not like it was some kind of gimme. Like, how do you miss that?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I just kind of repurposed what you said.
I know, that's what you tend to do.
I'm agreeing with you. Essentially agreeing with what you
say. Is that your Mike Golic impersonation?
That was a little. I'm agreeing with you. Essentially saying what you just said.
All right, if you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle with DP Show. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners. You can watch, as many did last night. We had a viewing party of us watching the Sports Emmys, and my thanks to those who actually suffered through that with us. We had a lot of fun. We really did. And if you missed it, you can go to danpatrick.com. You can go to youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. And we have the show. It's a little more than an hour, and there's a lot of highlights in there. We're looking back on some of the great memories. And if you want to see people actually lose an award or not win an award, you get that opportunity. Because normally, when they show the camera on you, everybody is, and I don't know how they do it. When you go to the Academy Awards, and they put you up there, and it's like five people in a box, and then they go, and the winner is Sean Penn, and then you see the other four, and they go, oh, yeah, let me just go. Well, I didn't do that last night. I reacted differently. For 1 second, they got me where I went, oh, and then I quickly went. But it was real. That's how I felt. I was disappointed. But, you know, congratulations once again to MLB Network as they stole another one from us somehow. Some way. Poll question that Fritzy is so proud of, McLevin.
So are the ACC, SEC, and maybe Big 12 still trying to play football? Is that admirable or reckless? 51% say reckless.
College football is part of our fabric, right? You know, when we think about it. And for the season to be canceled would be another devastating blow in a very difficult year because Mid-American Conference became the first FBS conference to call off their games. Now you have the Big Ten. Now you have the Pac-12. I don't know what's going to happen with the Big 12, ACC, SEC. The ACC presidents are going to hold their weekly call later today. And they'll hear from the league's medical advisory group. So I don't know if you can compare the data that the Big 10 and Pac-12 have with the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12. Because it feels like everybody could benefit from that. I don't know how safe this is. I don't know who made the right decision here. Big 12, or the Pac-12 and the Big 10, you make a decision, and I'm sure there are a lot of reasons that went into this. I just don't get the feeling that the presidents in the Big 10 were on the same page. They might have been on the same conference call. I don't know when they were deciding to make a decision because 7 days ago we have the Big 10 schedule. I would like to know what happened. I'm going to guess legal probably got involved in this. And every school has a legal counsel, and that's where you have to weigh how important is this decision to play football or not play football. You know, you're going to put yourself out there, the possibility, lawsuits. But these players are going to be safer on campus, getting tested on campus. They're going to be working out now. They're not going to be able to work out in a football environment, but they're still going to be holding, you know, their own kind of workouts here and lifting weights and probably still getting tested. But I'm still trying to get that information for you. But the ACC, SEC moving forward, And once again, to update you on the Big 12, they, and this is what I told you on Monday morning, they're still on the fence. They haven't changed here. 48 hours later, they're still on the fence. Oklahoma and Texas want to play football. I don't know if everybody else is all in. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, to be fair, Big 12 defenses usually take the ball off anyway.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah, get a little rivalry juice going.
It's true. It's true. All right, your phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. I saw where ESPN, according to Yahoo Sports, they had a business story. ESPN will lose $850 million if college football is not played. Well, the Big Ten, Pac-12, with those two conferences shutting things down. So now it's nearly a $1 billion loss in advertising revenue for Disney across its ESPN and ABC channels here. Whew. It's a big ticket item here. Big ticket item for ESPN and ABC. The Big Ten for weeks was considered to be the league's most likely to bail on the season. The Pac-12 in a similar corner. The SEC delayed the start of its season to September 26. ACC motivated to play. Let's say their medical experts are pointing them in the right direction. But the Big 12 decision to play football in the fall could either put the SEC and ACC in the majority or the minority, while three of the remaining Group 5 conferences wait to respond. But if you look at the Big 12, if they play, now all of a sudden, Big 12, ACC, SEC, they emerge higher, bigger, stronger, more powerful, at least in the short term, than the Big 10. And recruiting here. I don't know what happens to Justin Fields. He's a great quarterback, probably going to be a top 5 pick. He had transferred from Georgia to Ohio State. Can he transfer back to Georgia? And why wouldn't you? Or someplace else. Alabama. We did reach out to Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, and once again, we were told that he is not available. What did they say, Fritzy?
I know they appreciate our interest. The exact email.
Oh, well, you don't have to give us the exact, but they just...
Unfortunately, President Emmert is not available.
He's not available.
That is the phraseology.
Okay. Paulie, did you have Todd send a note back?
Yeah, I asked Todd to write this exactly. At what day and what time in the next month can Mark Emmert do an interview? Dan will be ready to go.
Yeah.
Actually, took it one step further. So I said, so 11:20 Friday?
It's not happening.
Never know.
Not happening. And he realizes that he doesn't have power over the SEC. I mean, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, is going to do what he wants to do. And that's why I laugh when people say, oh, college football needs a commissioner. Well, they have a president. I mean, I know that the NCAA is all in on March Madness because they own that. But college football is different. You know, it's like the Power Five, the mafia families. And you know, Greg Sankey is the Don. I was going to say he's Marlon Brando in The Godfather, but it doesn't end well for him. So I don't want to use that analogy there. But it's like the Power Five, the mafia families in New York City. All right, some phone calls coming up. Kirk Herbstreit will join us at some point. Herbie won the Sports Emmy last night. Get his thoughts on this college football season. Joe Montana, we wanted to have somebody on who was a winner, and so we thought we'd get Joe Montana on, who won 4 Super Bowls. He's never lost a Sports Emmy, I don't think, either. Yes, Fritz.
It's one thing to have a winner on, but it's kind of extreme. 0-3 against 4-0. That's really opposite ends of the spectrum.
Chris in Arizona leads us off this hour. Hi, Chris. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. How's it going? I just wanted to say to you and the Danettes, my family personally thought you guys won that Sports Emmy. We were pretty bummed. But we appreciate your show since the time it came on, especially during these hard times. Our family's been watching it. But on the bright side, your Phoenix Suns are 7-0.
I know. I know. It's good stuff. Thank you, Chris. I mean, it doesn't fix my Sports Emmy, but the Phoenix Suns are playing extremely well. Haven't lost. And now Dame Lillard puts up 61. We got Memphis involved in this. San Antonio and Phoenix are kind of involved in this. There's so many scenarios for one game, right, McLovin? I couldn't keep track of all the different scenarios. If this happens and then this happens, that means this happens. Is it going to be Memphis versus Portland? Is that what this is coming?
I think it might be Phoenix versus Portland because Memphis can't seem to win. I think Memphis might have to win a game to get into the play-in game, which is Saturday.
Okay, hold on. You sent me something here.
Yeah,
But it's one of those where it's like a word problem. I would go through a word problem once, and I'd basically go, "Nah, I don't get it." And that's what I did when you sent me the scenario there of what could happen. I just went, "I'm confused here."
Memphis kind of has to win a game to be.
Wait,
assured.
Do they kind of, or do they?
Well,
have
if San Antonio,
you can't
and Phoenix
kind
lose.
Of like a moral victory. Hey, we kind of won that game.
They need to put out a strong effort, otherwise that makes sense. I'm reading this. So basically, it looks like two teams are playing on Saturday morning or Saturday. 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. Playing tourneys. It's happening.
Oh, by the way, that clears it up. Adrian Wojnarowski had a Woj bomb. He's saying that you can now invite guests into the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give me that bound chicka bound bound music there? Here's what Woj said. Any individual the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions.
What? You're joking.
No, this is what it says. For example, known by the player only through social media or an intermediary. Yeah. Any individual the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions. Wink, wink. Yeah.
I believe the saying you're looking for, Dan, is LA work?
Ooh, putting some LA work.
Is that what I just heard?
I didn't know that term. And then Marvin the Prince is the one who says, you know what LA putting in LA work means? And I go, no. He goes, that you're in the import-export business. You know, you're bringing somebody in. Now, this does...
Spencer Dinwiddie who said that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, no, you can't have any LA work down there in the bubble. Who knew? LA work. Yeah, Paulie.
It appears that you have to prove you've known someone for a long time, a long-standing relationship. So you may have to go way back in the Rolodex for the bubble. If you
but how do you prove that you've had interactions?
They're blocking, and you know what the first word is.
But you've known them. Todd, I can't go to you on this topic. No.
This is really tame.
No, you're...
It's really tame. I promise this is tame.
All right, Todd.
What if it's someone you haven't met? You got me all...
See?
What if it's someone you haven't met, but they're delivering your favorite wings?
And you know you know what the answer is that, Todd. Like, if I met you at Magic City when I got wings, can I bring you into the bubble,
that,
Todd?
That should count, no? That should be okay.
That does not.
We haven't met before, but you know the kind of wings I like. They're delivering your favorite
this
wings.
This is the reason why I don't win the Sports Emmy. Stuff like that. This is where the committee goes, those guys have never grown up. And then they're right.
It's a little obnoxious.
And I hope we never grow up. Reese in West Virginia. Hi, Reese. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Reese.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Going back to college football, with the crutch of smaller schools making it into the playoffs, like UCF a few years ago, being like the non-conference schedule, with the non-conference schedule...
Got a bad connection there, Reese. Brad in North Carolina. Hi, Brad. What do you have for me today?
Dan, to quote Bob Costas, hello, loser.
Thank you.
wanted to piggyback on Coach Neuheisel a little bit with what he was talking about with transfers, but you briefly mentioned this, but recruiting. I don't see how this doesn't have irreparable damage on the Big Ten and Pac-12. As a long-suffering North Carolina football fan, I mean, we'll take the advantage there. But I don't see how, especially with spring enrollees, how's this going to affect that? The point I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be used against some of these conferences. If the SEC and ACC are able to play. And are players going to transfer? Can they transfer to the ACC or SEC right now? Because the season was taken away from them. Is the NCAA going to stand in the way of these student athletes wanting to go play elsewhere. Yeah, McClellan.
You also got the North Dakota State kid, Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Their season's been canceled, I believe. D2.
Yeah, if he could go to a Division I school, he's talented.
I mean, if he could play in the fall, right? Like,
yeah.
LSU needs a quarterback. People tweeted us, by the way.
Yeah, I thought that Ed Orgeron was going to bring in JT Daniels, who played at USC.
He went to Georgia, right?
Yeah, I thought that they were going to bring him in and have him be the heir apparent to Joe Burrow. Matt in North Carolina. Hi, Matt. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First time, long time, 6'3", 225. Two questions that I haven't heard asked or answered.
All right.
When it comes to college football.
Okay.
I know the football players are in the greatest shape of anybody, right? But if you're 6'5", 350, are you really healthy?
Yeah, we brought that up before, and I don't have all of the answers. I don't have any of the answers, really, when it comes to that. But, you know, talking to somebody in the medical community in the NFL, they said that they worry about the players, the larger players, given, you know, what goes on with COVID. And with shortness of breath. Yeah. So I can only tell you what I've been told, but I am a novice and I don't want to play a doctor on TV here. I don't. It's too dangerous to try to do that. I don't know it. I can ask, but I don't know it. Brent in Ohio joins us. Hi, Brent. What do you have?
Hey, DP.
Hey, Bob.
5'9", 155. Real kick in the pants yesterday in Columbus. With the Big Ten news, Blue Jackets lost in 5 overtimes.
No.
And then DP show coming up short in the sports. Selfishly, as a listener, we were pulling hard for you guys just to make ourselves feel better. But my question is this regarding the Big Ten. The two conferences who had players speak out via the Players Tribune with the, I think it was We Are United with the Pac-12 and Big Ten United with the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Collectively as unions, if you want to use that term, those are the two conferences that aren't playing this year. So, I mean, regardless of what their demands are, how much influence do you think that had versus the health concerns that are currently being cited by the commissioners?
I'm not sure, but I do know that this mobilized these players. And I think moving forward, you're going to find it may not be a union, but you're going to have, there's going to be a groundswell here. And you're going to have players who are going to take more of an initiative. A leadership role in trying to get, you know, their questions answered. And I go back to what happened with the Pac-12. And if it's true, it's shameful. These players wanted a seat at the table with the Pac-12 and its commissioner, Larry Scott. And he basically called it, I think the quote was, a PR stunt. You must listen to these players. These coaches, athletic directors, presidents, chancellors, boosters, they always say it's about the kids when it's not about the kids or when what the kids have to say is not on the same page as what you have to say. And that's a big concern I have moving forward. Listen to them. Understand what they're saying. They're the ones playing. They're the ones suiting up. They're the ones that run the risk here. But you have to listen to them. And you saw that a microcosm at Washington State, where a coach didn't like that a player was taking some kind of initiative, mobilizing, so we could get answers as players. And what did that coach say? See ya. So that's the leadership? Hey, we don't agree with what you're saying. See ya. We're not going to get very far if that's the case. Take a break. More phone calls coming up. Kirk Herbstreit will join us. Joe Montana will stop by as well. We'll take a break. 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Hits literally keep on coming from one MMA event to the next. You've got UFC 252. Two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. No better place to get in on all of the action than DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new users a free shot at $1 million in total prizes. If you haven't tried it, fantasy MMA is really easy. You pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap. That's the hard part, staying under the salary cap. Pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. But if MMA isn't the sport for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all the sports that have returned to action. Simply download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code SQUAD. Get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's UFC 252 contest. So the promo code is SQUAD. Get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way, the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, make sure you go to the Dan Patrick website, danpatrick.com, where you can watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. This is what it sounded like last night when we lost the Sports Emmy.
The nominees for Outstanding Studio Show Daily are...
The Dan Patrick Show, BR Live, DirecTV, NBCSN, MLB Tonight, MLB Network,
I still think they might get thrown at.
NHL Live, NBC, NBCSN.
The Blackhawks and the Bruins coming down this very tunnel.
Outside the Lines, ESPN.
Over the years, as Lee's stature grew,
pardon the interruption, ESPN.
When Tiger hits a shot on 16, they rise.
SportsCenter, ESPN.
For the past 5 years.
And the Emmy goes to MLB Tonight, MLB Network.
Oh, I just saw it again. It's so uncomfortable.
5 years. There's only been one.
So uncomfortable. Because I react naturally where I go, ah! And then I realize I'm on this Zoom call. I got to get my act together. And then I go quickly like this. I'm applauding like I'm at a Broadway show. Bravo! Bravo! I'm going, it's MLB Tonight. They stole another one from us.
Sore loser Patrick Collins all over the place from your...
I know. Hey, I am a sore loser. Yeah. I was over in the corner with a knife in my hand. I'm just stabbing a cutting board. Like, God, we lost again. Just an honor to be nominated. Some phone calls here. By the way, just got word that a Big 12 school is practicing football today. A notable Big 12 football program's got practice today. They're going to be talking today, the Big 12, probably very soon. What time is it now? Around 10:30 East Coast time, that the Big 12, I think, is getting together and maybe they make their decision today. I thought by the end of the week we would know where we stood with college football. And I still feel that way, but I don't know. I know that the Big 12, that they're on the fence. I'm being told now the conference calls at noon Eastern between the presidents, I believe. Or, oh, this is a news conference that they're having.
According to Brett McMurphy, Dan, the Big 12 will have a noon Eastern news conference where Commissioner Bob Bowlesby will provide, quote, an update on the 2020 fall sports season.
Okay. So they're talking now probably at 10:30 Eastern, the presidents are, and then maybe they'll have a vote. It looks like that's going to be the case here. You know, the spring football season, I don't see that happening. I know that it sounds better than just saying we're canceling football. If you give people hope, and maybe there's a vaccine by then, maybe there's, you know, a downturn in all of this. Maybe there's something to be learned from the ACC and SEC if they pull this off and the Big 12. I just don't see football at the Power Five conferences as realistic, because if I'm a player who is going to be a first, second-round pick, I'm not going to play. Like, if you said Clemson is not playing, the ACC doesn't play, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to play in the spring. Ohio State, you're Justin Fields. Are you playing in the spring? I don't think so. Yeah, McLovin.
One thing, though, right now there's like 175 first-round picks out there. You know, a lot of guys think they're a first-round pick, but how does the NFL, like, evaluate guys now just based on last year? Senior Bowl, is that going to happen?
It's really difficult, because if you look at sort of these one-year leaps that we've seen in play, quality of play, just go with Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and Joe Burrow. Just throws three. And you've got first-round draft picks, you know, with teams that are putting them in as their starting quarterbacks. But they got there because they had that extra year. Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma. Got another year and proved he could be NFL worthy and drafted in the second round by the Eagles. Yeah, McLovin.
Oh, one more. Mitchell Trubisky. I think he only played 1 year, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so that actually would have helped.
Yeah, maybe it would have helped.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. Just got mean-spirited there. The Lightning and the Blue Jackets go five overtimes last night. The game went so late that the Bruins-Hurricanes game after that had to be rescheduled for this morning. They're going to play at 11 o'clock in the morning. They went too late. It was like 6 hours. Yeah, Todd.
And the Blue Jackets goalie had like a record 85 saves and a loss. The record was an Islander who had 72, so he broke it by 13, and he still didn't win.
Yeah, and this is what I didn't understand. We've seen baseball start extra innings with a runner on second base. We've seen baseball have seven-inning doubleheader games. If you said to Gary Bettman, do you want to have something different for the post or for overtime when you get into the bubble? He'd probably, if you say, ask him today, he'd probably say, well, if I could do that again, then I probably would. Because you put him in a bubble and everybody's trying to play a certain number of games in a certain number of days. And you're trying to get through this schedule. That's why baseball is trying to do it. And that's why they're having seven-inning games on days that they have doubleheaders there. But Lightning and Blue Jackets go five overtimes. I did love this line. Let's see. This is Philly Inquirer's Mike Sielski. He said, I'm not saying, and he's talking about this game, I'm not saying the Lightning and Blue Jackets game is long, but instead of game one of an Eastern Conference first-round series, they're now calling it the Irishman. Cricket. I thought it was pretty good. The Irishman takes forever.
I got it.
Okay. Thank you, McLovin. Nobody else?
People. As soon as he started talking about that movie, I just glazed over.
If they did The Irishman as a 10-part series, would we have viewed it differently? We would have viewed it, literally viewed it differently. Would we have a different opinion on The Irishman if it was 10-part series? Seton O'Connor Jr. the third.
I think that would have helped. I had a real problem, and I just couldn't get over the fake aging thing. I had to keep reminding myself, like, oh, yeah, he's supposed to be young here. And I couldn't get over that. I couldn't get past that watching it.
I had a hard time. I struggled through about 25 minutes, and I just said, nah, I can't do it. When you're binging, it shouldn't be hard work when you're binging. You know, when you're going to watch something, you know, when I watched Breaking Bad or I watched Better Call Saul or Bosch, like you're just breezing Ozark. Like you're just going, God, I don't want this to end. The Irishman, you're going, God, I want this to end. Yes, Paul.
Do you think with some movies like The Irishman, people were hesitant to be critical because you think that you don't know what you're talking about? Like if, you know, Joe Pesci and De Niro and Scorsese, you can't be really critical of that movie. Seton was, but he took heat. I remember that morning he said, "This, it stunk." Remember that movie Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't either. Not that much. There were some good parts, but I
hated the ending.
I was disappointed when I went in there. I think I expected too much. But I was like, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, I had no problem saying that. Like The Departed. It wasn't any good.
We were speaking of Herb Street years ago. Someone at ESPN said they didn't like the movie. What's the one with the high school kids down in South Carolina? Herman Boone, Denzel Washington.
Remember the Titans.
Someone said they didn't like Remember the Titans. Herb Street almost put him against a wall. He's like, you don't like Remember the Titans? He goes, what are you? And here he's actually upset.
Oh, I don't take it that serious, but The Departed wasn't any good.
It's way better than The Irishman, though.
Way better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Way better.
Now, you could watch The Departed twice and still not be through with The Irishman.
Correct.
I'm going to guess, right? All right, some more phone calls in here. Matt in San Jose joining us on the program. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, bud.
Hey, just listening to your show. Love your show. Love the Danettes. I just have, you know, kind of concern, and I kind of agree what the college presidents are doing. I totally agree with you about the liability. You know, I work in an ICU. I take care of these COVID patients. in San Jose and in another ICU. You know, some of these big players, they are at risk, and a lot of people don't understand what I see. I remember in March taking care of a 41-year-old male. He was a marathon runner, struggling to breathe, looking at my eyes, struggling to breathe. And I know these are athletes, but when you have somebody over 300 pounds and the COVID affects the lungs and they go into acute respiratory distress syndrome called ARDS, it puts a lot of pressure on the lungs and then on the heart. And we're seeing some, you know, I don't have statistics and data that sometimes they could have a stroke in the brain.
Matt, what is the heart condition that we're hearing about that COVID could affect with all of us, not just athletes?
Well, what happens is the heart, you know, like kind of like a cardiomyopathy. It makes it a little eventually it could be flabby, but we're also finding out and studies showing that you could throw a clot. Meaning, you know, that it could go up into the brain. And also there are some studies that are showing that long-term scarring in the lungs. And I think that's why they're probably lawyers are looking into the liability of long-term effect with lungs. But you kind of proved my point when sometimes that coach up in Washington, he's worrying about his job and playing football, and they're saying it's always about the kids, always about the kids. But you look at the history of college football, not a total, but, you know, the coaches are a little myopic. They're worried about their the season, winning and everything, but are they really looking out for the kids?
Yeah, and I hope that as we move forward, we have more of these chancellors, presidents, athletic directors, coaches who are listening to these student athletes. Thank you, Matt, and good luck in the ICU there in San Jose. One other part of this is sickle cell. And when you think about, you know, the health condition, sickle cell disease, obviously more common in certain ethnic groups, including African Americans, 1 in 12 carries the sickle cell gene. So there's a lot of things that we don't know. Even if you're asymptomatic, even if you've tested positive, you have the antibodies, is there anything long term? We have no idea. And I go back to what I said at the outset of the show. I don't know who's made the right decision. Because I can make a case that having these student athletes on campus, they're going to be safer than they would be if they were at home. But does that mean you play football? And I would love to have these. I don't know if somebody can facilitate this. But can you get the doctors from the Pac-12, the Big Ten, ACC, SEC, Big 12, and they get together and do a Zoom call? And that way we just get their answers so we can understand this. So not just football fans, but just as a community of understanding what is at risk. What are you finding that you can play and this is how we're going to play? Like, I just want to know that. But it does come down to liability. That is the key word that was emphasized to me on Monday. Liability. And that's why I think the Pac-12 and Big Ten did what they did. Let me see. How about Caleb in North Carolina is back? Then we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Joe Montana will join us. Kirk Herbstreit will stop by as well. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, DB, 65250. Shout out to chat row, and just want to say a great show last night. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
You know, the ending could have been slightly better.
No, but it was better that we lost, Caleb. It's better for our brand. I keep telling it.
The Bills of Sports Talk Radio.
Well, when I walked in at the end of the night, we're all ready to go home. And Seton, you know, everybody got dressed up, and Seton is, you know, getting ready to walk out the door. And I said, you know what? It would have been bad for our brand if we won. And then Seton goes, I just want to know what it feels like to win one time.
Let's just see what the other side of that brand feels like and be like, let's just see one time if it really.
Yeah, I know. I think it's bad for our brand. All right. What do you have for me, Caleb?
Yeah, just a quick question. Do you think these group of five conferences and other small schools deciding to play this year because they see an opportunity for more TV time, more TV revenue, and even to get a leg up on recruiting with some of these Power Five schools that aren't playing?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's all on the table. It's an opportunity. And thanks for the phone call. I'll go back to what my source told me this morning about the Big 12. I'll give you the exact quote here, just so I got an update here from the Big 12 that I'll give it to you after the break here. Let me see what the exact quote is, just so. All right, here we go. Can I type? Yes, I can. This is what I got this morning from a Big 12 coach last night. Quote, when this happens, it separates the ACC, SEC, Big 12 from the others forever. That's the approach that these conferences, and certainly the Big 12, is taking. This puts us above these other conferences, the Big 10 and certainly the Pac-12. I got an update on the Big 12. More phone calls coming up right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. All right, this from a source in an athletic department of a Big 12 football program just told us, quote, Big 12 is sending out a release in the next hour, but all indications are we're moving forward. Been on the fence, but maybe still on the fence a little bit. I don't know if, you know, you take another vote, you stop, you hit the reset just because what happened with the Pac-12 and Big 10. How much does that change what you're going to do coming up this fall? Does it change anything? Because according to a Big 12 coach who talked to my source, hey, this is a big thing. This is going to change, you know, the perception of the Big 12 forever. If we play with the ACC and the SEC, that's just the mindset. I mean, short-term recruiting, but I still want to know what happens with some of these players who would like to transfer. Can they transfer? I would ask you, Todd, to get a hold of the NCAA, but they don't seem...
They're just not very available.
Okay. Can I ask for a rule? Are they able to transfer without any penalty? Can you just ask? I'm just curious if that's the case. Luke in Indiana. Hi, Luke. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. 6 foot, 165. Got a question and a comment. Question for you would be, assuming that the SEC, Big 12, and ACC play this year, if you place yourself in Justin Fields' shoes, would you rather just call it quits and just hold off until the NFL draft where you know you're going to be more than likely a first-round pick? Or would you take a chance, if it's okay and legal, to transfer to another school? Let's say you go back to Georgia or Texas or somewhere,
yeah,
and play the rest of the year, you know, placing yourself in his shoes, what would you do? And then my comment would be, stuck it to anybody who voted on these Emmy winners. Obviously, didn't know what they were doing.
Well, thank you, Luke. Thank you. I don't know Justin Fields. I would want to play football, but he's already guaranteed he's going to be probably the second quarterback off the board. And I would just get ready for the NFL draft. You know, you transferred from Georgia to Ohio State. Now, do you want to go back to Georgia just to play football and, you know, elsewhere, and you're uprooting your life to do that? I would get ready for the NFL draft. I would, instead of saying, hey, he doesn't have anything to prove, I don't think. By all accounts, he's going to be 1-2 with Trevor Lawrence there. Yeah, McLovin.
I was wondering, you know, even if you're a top 10 pick, that doesn't mean you're going to make it. Like, some of the best quarterbacks, Russell Wilson went in the third, Dak Prescott and fourth, like, we'll find the Joe Burrows once they get to the NFL. Don't they have it? Like, Tony Romo eventually made it. I feel like if you're the cream, you'll rise even when you get to camp.
Yeah, but you don't always get the opportunity. Now, you can say, hey, we found Kurt Warner. But Kurt Warner was, what, fourth on the depth chart with the Green Bay Packers. You know, a lot of luck has to happen here. You know, Trent Green. If Trent Green doesn't get hurt, we don't have Kurt Warner as a Hall of Famer. You know, Drew Bledsoe, we might not have known about Tom Brady, or Tom Brady would have got a later start in his career. Maybe that start would have been with another team here. And I don't know if Joe Burrow, I still don't know how good Joe Burrow is, because I saw him the previous year and I thought he was just okay. And then all of a sudden, you get a different offensive scheme. They give him a little bit more to do. He's got unbelievable weapons there. I don't know how good he is. He was spectacular. It's probably the greatest season a college quarterback has ever turned in. I don't know how much it's him and how much it's somebody else. That's the hardest part for me. If I was a scout, I can look at all the intangibles, measurables. How good is the talent around you? How good does that make you? Offensive line, running back, coach, scheme. And then you go to a team, and you're normally going to a team that's not very good if you're being drafted high. They don't have all of that. They don't have an offensive line that's elite, or wide receivers elite, or their offensive coordinator or their head coach elite, because they're not a good team. Yeah, McLovin.
I see what you're doing here. That was a tease for our hour three guest, right?
Joe Montana.
Yes.
Third round pick,
and maybe he's talking about some of the things around him in his system, you might say.
Oh, no, you're not.
You just did the system quarterback argument for Joe Burrow. You did.
I can't do that with Joe Montana.
No,
Joe maximized the system. Can we agree with that? Everybody's in a system. Can you maximize a system? And Joe Montana was able to do
it. He did it more than anyone ever has.
Okay. Well, Brady's in a system, was in a system in New England.
But actually, Joe had a system called the West Coast system. What was Brady's system?
West Coast offense.
Sort of changed it around a lot.
Yeah, see.
Peyton Manning is the only quarterback in history who gets credit for being the system.
That's true.
Yeah. He's the only one that you're like, well, you know, he had his own system.
Well, I think Favre had his own system, too. He went off the reservation quite a few times there. But if it is the system in New England, then Jared Stidham is going to be great. Right? If it's the system.
See, I know he's called Tom Brady the system quarterback, but there's no system. Like, they don't have an offensive system. What is their offense? They change it every few. Now they're like a run team.
That's the system. They change it all the time, McLovin.
See, Joe Montana ran the West Coast system, which is awesome.
It was not called the West Coast system. It was the West Coast offense.
Right. It's the ultimate
system. You want to make it system, so it's a system quarterback. It's the ultimate system.
I don't know.
Bring it up to Joe Montana.
I'm not.
You got yelled
These
at.
These are sensitive times. College football is like, you did the last thing. I don't want him to yell at me again.
Scott in Minnesota. Hi, Scott. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey,
I'm a first-timer, a chat rower.
Oh, nice.
I'm 6'5", a COVID-250.
All right.
I'd like to give a shout-out, actually, from yesterday night's Emmy Watch Party broadcast to the MC, Dan G., also formerly of the AUAA, up on his apple crates. And he got off a couple of good one-liners that I'm not sure you're aware of. For one, when you went off to the pantry and grabbed the knife, he said, consummate professional, he's just getting ready for Meat Friday. I thought that was a good one.
Oh.
And yeah.
Nice.
And then there was a running gag where he was out in the parking lot and you guys were kind of keeping him in the parking lot. So kind of as a zinger at the end, he said, Al Leiter called and he's going to the MLB tonight after party.
Thank you, Scott. Dan G did a great job. So did Marvin the Prince co-hosting last night. Final hour coming up. System quarterback Joe Montana and Kirk Herbstreit set to join us as well. Back after this.